What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Approved. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
Welcome into the show on this Friday, Darren Donick and Chase. Without Darren Donick and Chase, it's Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson, Elijah Campbell behind the glass, talking all things sports here on this beautiful Friday afternoon in Middle Tennessee. Speaking of Middle Tennessee, a resident and former Major League reliever, David Weathers, is on the line with us to discuss all of the baseball news from a former player's perspective. David, always enjoy being able to talk baseball with you. How are you doing today?
Good, guys. How are y'all? Glad to be here.
Doing pretty well, pretty well. So I want to get your perspective as someone who spent 19 years in the major leagues. What is going on between Major League Baseball and the Players Union, and kind of your thoughts on what's unfolding right in front of our eyes?
Well, I think a lot of it, you know, and I'm like you guys, I'm only privy to certain information about what's going on, but you know, from the outside looking in and going through this, my biggest concern was about 2 months ago, and I told my wife this, you know, this is not collective bargaining. You know, this is a pandemic. Totally different situation. And what bothers me about the whole deal is you have to find common ground and get back to work. It's that simple. And it comes from the leadership from both sides. This is not a money grab for anyone. This is not the time nor the place to die on that hill, you know, and I don't, you know, my biggest concern for the players is letting this stuff leak into 2021 where we're starting to agree to things down the road. Get back on the field, get the schedule together, get your testing together, get your players in camps right now while you're still negotiating. Get your players ready, because health is going to be a big concern for a lot of clubs because of the spring training. They were almost, you know, getting ready to break. A lot of guys were, you know, probably 3 or 4 innings ready. Man, they've been off for a lot of time. So, you know, injury's a big deal. So I think they should be at their sites right now training just in case this thing breaks. But my biggest disappointment is we can't, and I say we because I'm part of that fraternity, can't treat it as this is a CBA. And in some ways we have. This is not a strike. This is not a lockout. This is for the whole country. And I've told everyone, all the way from the richest owner to the guy that's in the clubhouse, the first year he's worked in the clubhouse, everybody's losing something this year. It's just a matter of how much. And so, you know, get back on the field, play baseball, and let 2021 take care of 2021 and worry about that CBA after that season. That would be my advice.
Do you feel like the owners and the players right now are aware or even care about the PR hit the sport is taking?
Well, I tell you, I think they're aware, but I don't think they care. You know, and here's why I say that. When we were on strike in 94, we were very much aware of what leverage we had, what leverage we didn't have. But the one concern we had through all of this is, guys, as long as we are locked out, because we did not go on strike, we were locked out, it's going to take forever to get baseball back to where it was. Because in 94, you know, baseball was doing very well. And, you know, I really believe it took Ripken. If we hadn't had Ripken breaking the streak, if we hadn't had McGuire and Zosa in 98, I'm not sure the game got back as fast as it did, but those were such intriguing items for baseball, you know, history being made, that it brought people on board. You know, I think what the players and owners have to understand here is we're in an economic time that says, hey, listen, I don't know about you, but me, myself and my family, do I miss sports? Absolutely. But it hasn't altered my life, one iota. And I think what they got to realize is, man, there's a lot of people saying, you know what, I got a lot of extra change in my pocket by not going to all these games, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever. And you're surviving. Do we want it? Absolutely. I'd love to watch a baseball game tonight. I would love to get my day through and sit back tonight and watch somebody play. But I don't have to have it. And I think we found out it's not really that essential. And I hate to say that as a sports fan, but back to your original point, they're doing major damage to the image of baseball, and some fans, they will never get back.
Yeah, David, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because when you mentioned, you know, getting the game back to where it was after 94, talking about Sosa and McGuire, and do you feel like, you know, with this pandemic and there's no sports going on, do you feel like MLB's missed a golden opportunity to try to gain some of those fans back? Because obviously they know that they're going to keep the diehards. They're going to keep the people like us who are going to continuously watch the baseball. But it was also another opportunity that they could have gotten new fans and fans who probably haven't watched baseball in a while, that now all of a sudden it's the only sport in town and they would be watching it. So do you think they missed a golden opportunity there?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, and let's just be real on it, on this whole deal with public relations. Baseball's always been bad. They've never promoted their players because you were always in, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, a lot of strikes, a lot of work stoppages and all those types of things. There's no trust whatsoever. I still don't trust the owners. They won't open their books up. Hey, let's see what's really going on. All those things are for CBA, but at the end of the day, all of us that know the owners, none of the players trust them today, and we never trusted them. And, but listen, they're the owners. They pay the checks, so you got to do what your job tells you to do. But here's the thing that just always just irritated me as a player. We never promoted our top players. We tried, but we're nothing like the NBA, the NFL, man, and soccer is probably doing one of the best jobs of it, is, man, you have to promote your players so people get familiar. Let me ask you this. What do we have right now, if baseball goes back, what storyline do we have that will match Cal Ripken, will match McGuire and Sosa? What do we have going on right now, and what could we accomplish in 60 or 70 games? It's going to be like just knocking our socks off to say, wow, I can't believe this. Other than a guy maybe hitting 400, what do we have?
The Astros sign stealing scandal.
Yankees.
How about that one? You see what I'm saying? Like, what's going to generate the buzz? You know, you got Mike Trout, one of your main players, and he don't want to play. Now, you know, the other day he hashtagged it out. You know, when and where? Well, you know, you don't know how much of that's manufactured. So, you know, I think for me, and I'm a, you know, I have a special interest in baseball, but there's a part of me now that I'm just a fan, and my son's playing in the minor leagues, which I hate for him because, you know, this was an opportunity for him to develop, maybe pitch 100 innings this year and develop. Well, he didn't get that, but, you know, that's he's been taught in his life that everything don't work out the way you want. You just got to keep working. But at the end of the day, man, these guys, as a fan, I'm sitting there going, man, this really turns my stomach to the sport. I don't want to see this. I don't want to watch guys arguing over $3-5 billion. I mean, it's absurd. You know what? Get the thing done and go play. But I will say this, and I'll probably get ridiculed for this, but inside the fraternity of baseball. But before this started, I told my wife, I said, we have one of the worst commissioners in baseball because he doesn't care about the game. He is concerned about making his mark on the game, not the game itself. Trying to, you know, three-hitter minimum, a pitch clock, working in the minor leagues on getting electronic umpires, working where you can't pick off unless you step off the rubber. Things that's been in baseball for hundreds of years, and it's a great game. All right, so that's number one. And number two, then we go to Tony Clark, who's a really good friend of mine. We played a couple of years together. You know, we don't have the experience with negotiating these things. So you got two things that are a bad combo. One, you got the commissioner who is 100% owners, so it's two on one, owners and commissioner against the players. Then on top of that, you got the lack of experience, and the owners know that, and they've already taken advantage of several things. So I told my wife about 2 months ago, I said, I got a bad feeling about this. And on top of that, the players really have to understand, even though he is the union chief, he works for you. You have to have the leadership of the players that we had with Kevin Brown, with Terry Pendleton, with Roger Clemens. These guys stood in the gap and argued for us, even with our own, with Donald Fear, to make sure, listen, man, we can't forget what we're doing here is playing baseball. And I just don't see that happening.
We're talking to former Major League pitcher David Weathers on the line with us. And I'm glad that you mentioned early in that the owners, because when these failed proposals are happening, we're pointing the finger at Rob Manfred, and just, you know, obviously you should get that, Tony Clark as well, and the players. But somehow, some way, we don't hear from the owners, obviously, but we don't really point the fingers at them. And they could also be the ones that are holding this whole thing up.
All right, well, let me ask you this. And you really think about this, and this was the big signal I got the other day. I'm like, this guy is not in control like he says he is. Manfred goes unequivocally, 100%, we will have baseball.
Right.
No doubt. All right? Then a week later, he retracts that, right?
Right.
Well, who made him retract that? It wasn't the players.
It was the owners.
It worked for the players. The owners, absolutely. The owners are 100% in control of the commissioner. They pay him. And pay him handsomely to ruin our game. And listen, I'm anybody that knows me, I don't like mixing words, and I just feel like this guy is absolutely devastating our game. Once this is settled, we have to have a change in baseball on the commissioner level. He is absolutely, Bud Selig made his mark. He made his mark by expanding the playoffs, which everybody has loved. You know, interleague, we love it. We're probably going to see a DH now, which is fine. That's not, to me, that's not a big deal. That helps the players out. But, you know, we got to figure out that between ownership, and we'll take a local guy, Mookie Betts, who I love watching play, who's from the Nashville metro area. You know, if the Red Sox love Mookie Betts and rewarded him for what he has done, would he still be going year to year? No. You know, they don't understand that part of the game yet. Instead of taking care of Mookie Betts and making sure he stays a Red Sox, you know, they traded him, right? They never took care of Mookie like they should have. And so you look at those things, and that's just a byproduct of when you asked me earlier, did they even really feel and understand the PR hit we're taking? They do and they don't. And so, you know, I really worry about our game moving forward, even if we get on the field. You see little subtle things that go, man, this is not the game that we all grew up to love.
David Weathers is on the line with us. David, you mentioned earlier the fact that Major League Baseball does not do a good enough job of promoting its players. And, you know, every month there's a Sunday night baseball game between the Yankees and Red Sox, and Cardinals and Cubs are always featured, but you don't see Mike Trout. You don't see them showcase Mookie Betts to the extent that they should. You know, if Mookie Betts is from Nashville, and if he walked down Broadway, I truly wonder how many people would be able to pick him out of a crowd. Same with Mike Trout. So I guess where I'm getting at is, do you feel like the distrust between the owners and the players has anything to do with the fact that they cannot promote their players the way they should?
Well, yes, and here's why. Guys, tell me if you guys disagree with this, I'm good with that. But here's the problem. I'm tired of watching the Yankees every other Sunday night.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm tired of watching the Dodgers every other Sunday night. Hey, show me the Royals. Show me the teams that have the great players. Give those guys an opportunity. Like you said, Mike Trout. Don't do the L.A. Angels and the Dodgers. How about we watch the Angels in Kansas City? How about we watch, you know, different – listen, when I grew up, every Saturday, NBC was American League and ABC was National League. That's why I'm a National League guy. I grew up watching the National League. Those are the games I chose to watch. And guys, if I'm 50 years old, Monday Night Baseball was as big as Monday Night Football. You know, all my buddies, after a Little League game or something, we come home, we watch Monday Night Baseball. But they went to every different place and watched these games. And then all of a sudden we get to ESPN and Sunday Night Baseball, and all it is the Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, And, you know, now they started showing the Astros a little bit. But, you know, I get tired of watching those games. And you like you said, and you couldn't have said it any better, Mike Trout should be a household name everywhere in the United States. He is the best player in the game right now, or one of the top three. You know, you got the kids in Houston that are awesome. Nobody talks about these guys except one night a year on the All-Star game. These guys should be promoted.
Absolutely. We're talking to David Weathers. And as a former player, how would you feel about a 60-70 game season?
I would be very disappointed. You know, we're growing to play 162, you know, and let me ask you this. There's no reason we shouldn't be playing baseball by July the 4th. This thing should have been settled, and we should have started, my opinion, we should have started the 1st of July, and you play the rest of the schedule out to the end of September, and then you start the postseason in October. I don't know how many games that would entail, but I do know this. You're playing all of July, all of August, and all of September. You could get 80 games in plus. And then I think, you know, I don't know, man. I don't like a 60-yard sprint. You know, there's a lot of people that don't even get their legs under them until 60 games. So I don't know. I think they're looking at it and you know, they're saving money. But let me ask you guys this. Miami's never had fans, correct? But yet they go out and pay Stanton whatever they paid him. They sold their team for $1 billion, them in Tampa Bay. It ain't going to be no different for them when they play a baseball game. There's no one there anyway. Yeah, that's why I wish one of those franchises would find Nashville. I think Nashville would support it greatly.
Very good point there, David. I want to leave you with this. So last week we had Long Gone Summer with the McGuire-Sosa home run chase, the ESPN documentary. And in looking back and doing some research on that, I found a Wikipedia page that went through all the different home runs that Sosa and McGuire hit in a timeline of, you know, when McGuire had 60, this is how many Sosa had. And I just want to congratulate you because I did not see the name David Weathers mentioned as a pitcher that gave up a home run to McGuire or Sosa that summer.
Yeah, neither one of them. And I was with Milwaukee, and so we were in their division. We faced those guys all the time. Yeah, but I tell you what, they both got me in April the next year. They got me good. I will tell you this. As all the things, and I'm telling you, man, we have been able to witness some of the greatest things in baseball history, from Ripken to all the guys that have hit 600-plus home runs to McGuire breaking the record, and then here comes Barry Bonds breaking the record, and Barry breaks all the home. We've seen so much history. But I will tell you this, that was some of the most exciting times I've ever been a part of in baseball. You would go out and we would play St. Louis or Chicago batting practice at Milwaukee. The stadium would be three quarters, if not 80% full, to watch McGuire and Sosa take batting practice. You just felt it. And the second part of that is, I'll never forget the baseballs they threw out to us. I felt like they were throwing me a cue ball. And they had those, what do you call them, that signified that authenticate the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It had the stamp on it. And I'll never forget, I looked at Frank Cooley. I said, are you kidding me with this? He said, hey, just keep it down, kid. It'll go a long way. I'm like, yeah, that was the umpire. And so, you know, it was an exciting, exciting time. And that's the reason I said I don't know what we have going on in the game today that could match those things.
Because of all that, do you feel like Sosa, McGuire, and Bonds deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
You know, I do. And that's very, you know, it's not a popular opinion. But here's my deal, especially I'm more McGuire, Bonds first, then McGuire. The one that bothers me with Sammy is he never hit a whole lot of home runs until he just blew up and looked totally different. And then when they started testing again, he went back to 14 and 15 home runs again. McGuire was skinny as a beanpole and hit 49 his rookie year. The guy has pop. He's going to hit 600, 700 home runs. Whatever he was going to hit regardless. Bonds, when I played him in the early 90s, the best player I've ever played against. I mean, I love Ken Griffey Jr. He was my teammate for 5 years. One of the greatest guys that I've been around. All natural, hit 600 home runs. But Bonds was he was just unreal to play against, even when he was young. he's the best player. I think he's one of the top two players to ever strap on the uniform.
Great.
So I'm a Bonds fan.
Great stuff, David Weathers.
As far as on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff. David Weathers has been our guest, former Major League reliever. David, thank you so much for making time to join us today. Awesome stuff, and hopefully we're talking about baseball being on the diamond sooner rather than later.
Thanks for having me, guys. I hope I didn't upset too many people.
No worries at all. David Weathers, former Major League Baseball reliever. A lot of good stuff there. A lot of opinions towards the owners and the history between the owners and the players.
A lot. And justified, because and this is what I use Adam Silver as an example. He has a relationship with the NBA players. That's why they were able to figure this thing out. Michelle Roberts knows what she's doing when it comes to getting these players and the league together to figure out a plan, and that's why the NBA is back, and that's why they got a plan. That's why they have dates. That's why they have a location. It's because the players trust Adam Silver. You don't see the same thing with them in Major League Baseball. You don't see the same thing with Rob Manfred. And some half of the time, you don't see the same thing with Roger Goodell either, of players trusting him. And that's all the players want. They want to know that the guy in charge, they can trust. And they can, you know, they know they're not getting shifted by, you know, you're just taking care of the owners. And so that's what Rob Manfred's doing. And David Weather was right. He's sticking up for the owners. And obviously, that's not sitting well with the players. And that's why we don't have baseball.
Coming up next, Marquise and I are going to have some fun. Our NHL and NBA predictions, if the return to play started tomorrow and not 5 weeks from now, what would our predictions be for both the NHL and the NBA? That's all coming up next here on Darren Donick Nor Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into the show. Darren, Donick, and Chase, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody is having a great Friday and we'll have a great weekend. It's Dad Day on Sunday, Father's Day. So hopefully everybody has their Father's Day card and Father's Day gift ready to give to their dad this coming Sunday. Marquise teased before the break that we are going to make our NBA and NHL predictions. You, the big NBA guy, me, the big NHL guy, if the return to play formats started today and not 5 weeks from now, what our predictions would be. So let's start with you and the association in the NBA. Let's hear what you got for the predictions of what will happen starting in late July.
Okay, so let's go to this. Now, I'm not going to just go breakdown by breakdown of the eight games that these teams play. I'm going to start off with the Eastern Conference because it's the easiest, and by saying that the Wizards will not make the playoffs. Because
Bold prediction there.
They will not make the playoffs. John Wall is still hurt. He's not going to play. Bradley Beal on his own. Poor Bradley Beal. Poor Bradley Beal. Come to the Lakers, my friend. Mm. And then, so I'm not going to, there's a lot that can be moved up within these eight games, because when you look at the Sixers, the Pacers, the Heat, the Celtics, and you look at the Raptors, like they're still, it can easily be a lot of changes when it comes to those seedings. I'm probably going to drop the Raptors down to a four seed, and I'm going to get the Celtics as a two seed in this tournament, and also the Miami Heat as a three seed. So I'm basically moving the Raptors down to a four seed, four or five seed, which is going to set up a matchup between the Raptors and Pacers in the first round. I'm going to keep the 76ers at six, you know, just to say, and then the Nets and Magic, they're going to stay where they are. Mm. Now, so to begin the playoffs, I'm going to go through the East. So you got the Bucks and you got the Magic in the first round. That is a sweep for the Bucks. That is pretty clear cut to me. Then you also have the Raptors and the Nets, because I moved the Celtics up. So the Celtics and the Nets, I will have another sweep of the Celtics because no Kyrie, no Kevin Durant, no problem for them. They will lose. But I think the Nets will win enough within the tournament or within the eight games to actually just stay in it. But I don't think once they get to the Celtics, they'll probably lose. Miami Heat versus the 76ers. This is why I moved the Miami Heat up, because I want to see Jimmy Butler go against his former team, the 76ers, where I have Jimmy Butler and the Heat winning in seven games.
Ooh.
That's going to be a seven-game series, and that's going to be fantastic. Heat versus 76ers. Now, for the 4-5 seed, I have the Pacers and Raptors. I will go Raptors in this, so I pretty much pick all the high seeds to win. And now we get to the nitty-gritty with we got the Bucks versus the Raptors. I have the Bucks winning in six, because that's pretty, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. Bucks are probably going to go to the finals. Just throwing that out there. But then you got the Celtics and you got the Miami Heat. I think this is a good, if we were watching this with fans, this would be a great second round matchup between Jason Tatum versus Jimmy Butler. I'm actually going to go with the Celtics because I'm really high on the Celtics this season, and I got them winning that in six games. And then you got the Bucks and Celtics, and then I have the Bucks making it to the NBA Finals, beating the Celtics in Game 7. So you got the Bucks in
all
the
right.
NBA Finals representing the Eastern Conference.
All right, Bucks over Celtics in the Eastern Conference. Elijah, your reaction.
I agree with that for the most part. However, I'm a lot higher on the Raptors, and don't be surprised if the Toronto Raptors are in the NBA Finals again, because I think this team is almost just as good. Not quite as good. They're almost just as good. And Pascal Siakam is an NBA superstar right now, and they brought back most of what they had from last year. It'd still be hard to beat the Bucks because the Bucks are the best team in basketball and they have the best player in basketball, and sometimes in the NBA that makes a huge difference, having that one guy that's just better than everybody else and can create shots for everyone else on the floor. So I would say that too. I would agree that the Bucks are in the finals, but I think they face off against Toronto because Toronto creates a lot of matchup problems.
See, I don't know why, but I'm high on the Celtics.
Oh, like, I am too, yeah. Those like, are the best. This will be the most competitive the East has been in over a decade.
I think if any long shot not named the Lakers, Clippers, or the Bucks would win a championship, I think it would be Boston. Just because of the talent that Boston has.
And the depth, and they do play a brand of positionless basketball that makes them hard to guard. They can, or when they're guarding you, because they can just switch everything too. They play about four guys that can be considered the same quote-unquote position. So they're tough in that category.
Absolutely. So do you want to go Eastern Conference in NHL, or do you want me to continue with the play?
No, you continue.
Okay, so now let's go. And this one's a little bit more trickier because there's more teams to be competing for that eight seed. And it hurts me to do this, but I'm going to go the Blazers get the eight seed.
Oh,
I agree. Yeah, we talked about this morning. We had a good in-depth conversation about this morning.
Because, and look, I think this Grizzlies team is fantastic. I think this Grizzlies team is probably the most, you know, I would give kudos to Taylor Jenkins for what he's done with this team in his first year. However, you got a young team, and you got a Blazers team with CJ McCollum. Yusuf Nurkic is back, and he's healthy. And then you also got Hassan Whiteside and Zach Collins in the front court. And you got CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard in the backcourt. And probably a healthier Carmelo Anthony since he's been sitting out for a little bit. So you got a pretty stacked team, and also Trevor Ariza as well. So you got a pretty stacked team there, and the Memphis is just young. And if you get the Blazers in the playoffs, they're gonna be must-see TV, especially when you see what I have in this first round. So the first round, I have the Lakers as a one seed going up against the Portland Trail Blazers.
Mm.
And this to me is probably gonna be one of the most competitive. I will mark it down right now if the Blazers make the playoffs. This will be the most competitive first-round matchup, 1-8 seed, since the Boston Celtics played the Atlanta Hawks back when Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce got together, and they had to beat the Hawks in seven games that year.
That's right, they did.
So
I forgot about that.
I think this has all the makings of being that competitive, but I have the Lakers winning in six, seven.
Didn't we have an eight seed? I thought we had an eight seed more recently.
2006.
Make one competitive.
The
Warriors.
The Warriors beat the 67-win Mavericks.
Oh, I was
six games.
I was a Mavericks fan at that point.
Oof. Oh, man.
That was rough.
Dirk almost never lived that down. That would have been the pivotal moment of his career if he didn't win one all.
For about 3 years, I had nightmares of Baron Davis with some of the, and Quentin Richardson with some of the huge dunks that had in that series.
But more recently, it's been a lot lopsided.
I thought there was an eight seed more recently that at least pushed a one seed, but maybe I'm wrong.
It's been pretty lopsided, with the exception of that one. That one was pretty competitive. And now I'm thinking about an 8 seed, but let's move on. Clippers will be playing. I'm going to have the Thunder dropping to number 7. I have I understand they got Chris Paul. You know, Alexander is going to be a star in this league. He's going to be fantastic. I just, when I look at the Mavericks and I look at the Rockets, I think those are two teams that could potentially climb up with these 8 games. So I'm going to have the Thunder drop down to number 7 to place the Clippers, and they will lose to the Clippers in 5 games, unfortunately.
Okay.
Now, Skinny Jokic is the 3 seed. Skinny Jokic is going to be fantastic.
He's looking good.
He's looking amazing. I miss Chunky Jokic because Chunky Jokic was like empowering. Like, I can be chunky and play basketball. But he's not here anymore. We have Skinny Jokic, and he'll be a 3 seed. And I think there will be playing the Mavericks. And that'll be a first round matchup. Mavs and Nuggets, where I have the Nuggets winning in 7. Because I think the Mavs are really good. Like, really good. You know, Porzingis and Luka Doncic together, I think they can definitely make some noise. And I'm going to have the 4-5 seed will be the Jazz versus the Rockets. And I will go with the Rockets winning in 6. Now, to move on to the Rockets versus the Lakers. And I'm going to have the Lakers winning that in 7.
Okay.
It's going to be a close series, but I'm going to have them winning in 7. And I am going to have the Clippers beating, I had the Nuggets. So I have the Clippers beating the Nuggets. Setting up Lakers versus Clippers. Everybody predicted for the Western Conference. And I have, this is going to shock you, the Clippers winning in 7.
Ooh.
As a lifelong Laker fan, that's my worst nightmare. That is my worst nightmare, is that the Clippers would do it, but they could.
I'm sure that's Marquise's worst nightmare, too.
I mean, did you see my face as I read that off?
That's the best defensive team in basketball.
But it is.
I mean, top to bottom. And that's a big deal when you haven't played in months.
So, Clippers-Bucks.
Clippers-Bucks in the NBA Finals, and I will go the Bucks in 7. There you have it.
NBA Finals. That would be a heck of a series.
That would be an incredible series. Yes.
Giannis versus Kawhi.
Yes, and that's what I want.
MVP.
I create storylines here.
Your MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yep, there you go. So that's my NBA.
Okay, all right. I can respect that. Bucks over Clippers in the NBA Finals. So the NHL playoffs, I think. Well, all right, before I get to the NHL, I looked it up. I knew there was an 8 seed that beat a 1 seed more recently than 2006. It just didn't seem right. The Sixers in 2012 beat the Bulls.
That was the year Derrick Rose blew his ACL in game 1.
I don't count that.
Well,
I don't count that. It happened.
There were also a pair of game 7s in 2014 between 1 versus 8.
Right.
Spurs Mavericks in the West.
But see, I always compare it back to Hawks and Celtics because that Celtics team, not only did they win the championship that year, but like that Celtics team came out. They
was the first year of the Boston three party.
Exactly. They were supposed to just sweep.
Plus the Grizz beat the Spurs.
That's right. I forgot about that one too. Yeah. I totally forgot about that one. That one was almost seemed just as improbable because that was like a 60-win Spurs team.
Yeah, it was. Okay.
And that kicked off a whole 5 years.
I always go back to Hawks and Celtics. That series.
Most of the time the 8 seed gets just pummeled by the 1 seed in the NBA. That's not always the case in the NHL. In the 24-team format, I'm going to operate under the assumption that the top 4 teams in each conference stay status quo. Within these predictions, who knows what's going to happen in their little round-robin tournament before the format actually starts. So we're going to say that the Blues, Avalanche, Golden Knights, and Stars stay status quo as 1-4 in the West. And you've got the Bruins, Lightning, Capitals, and Flyers, 1-4 in the Eastern Conference. So in the 8-9, give me, and this is best of 5. In the 8-9, give me Flames over Jets in 4. Give me Oilers over Blackhawks in 4. You're going to see I'm all in on the Oilers in this format. Predators over Coyotes in 5. I think it's going to be a nail-biter series between those two teams. The Predators never make it easy against the Coyotes, ever, no matter what the talent difference is between those two teams. And then I've got Vancouver over Minnesota in three, a sweep of Minnesota from Vancouver. So moving on to round two in the Western Conference, Blues over Flames in six, Oilers over Stars in five, Predators over Golden Knights in seven.
Ooh, I like that.
And then Avalanche over Canucks in four. So that sets up the Western Conference second round officially. St. Louis versus Edmonton, Colorado versus Nashville. Got Edmonton over St. Louis in six. Got Colorado over Nashville in five.
Ooh. Over. So what's going to be the reason why?
Okay,
Why did you go with Avalanche finally dethroning? Because Preds went through two other teams. Why the Avalanche?
So I'm going with sheer skill within this. Because you have to take a lot of the intangibles out with playoff series when it's in a hub city.
Yes.
You don't factor in travel. The Avalanche and the Oilers, who I have in the Western Conference Final, both have young stars that have high-end talent that they won't have rusty legs coming into this format as maybe some other teams. And the Avalanche are just stinking good. They just ooze talent on that team. Yeah. So I've got Colorado over Nashville in five, and then Colorado over Edmonton in six in the Western Conference Final. So Colorado advancing to the Stanley Cup Final out of the Western Conference.
Like it.
The Fighting Nathan MacKinnons and Mikko Rantanens and Kale McCars.
There's too much talent on that team for them to be thrown off by this layoff, I feel like.
Yes, I agree. Plus, they were kind of limping to the finish line back in March. They had a lot of injuries. Now they're fully healthy. Mikko Rantanen is not hurt. So I really like Colorado's chances in the Western Conference. Now going to the East. Give me Toronto over Columbus in four in the 8-9 in the East in the qualifying round. Give me Pittsburgh over Montreal in five. I think Montreal is going to push the limit on Pittsburgh because of Carey Price. Give me Florida over the Islanders in four. And give me, in the biggest upset of the qualifying round, the New York Rangers over the Carolina Hurricanes in four.
Wow.
The New York Rangers.
I should have predicted an upset.
Had no business being in this format. And I think there will be a team that had no business being in the playoffs make some noise. And I think the New York Rangers are one of those teams. They have a lot of talent. They're young. The Carolina Hurricanes were vocal. They didn't want this format. And the Hurricanes, Jekyll and Hyde for the last couple of years. Give me the Rangers over the Hurricanes. Then moving on into round two, the Bruins over the Rangers in six as you reseed. So highest seed versus lowest seed. Bruins over Rangers in six. Lightning over Panthers in seven. I think the Panthers are going to make a run for their money in this format. Penguins over Flyers in five, and then Maple Leafs over Capitals in six. Upset there in round two. Bruins over Leafs in seven. Lightning over Penguins in five, setting up a Tampa Bay-Boston Eastern Conference Final. Give me the Lightning over Bruins in five.
Redemption. It takes no fans for us to not lose in the first round. This is our redemption season.
It is. It is. And then in the weirdest game seven in Stanley Cup final history in terms of not playing in front of fans, the Colorado Avalanche knock off the Tampa Bay Lightning in seven games.
Wow. And redemption ruined.
Conn Smythe, Nathan MacKinnon.
I like that for sure.
I like it.
I don't like it because it's not the Nashville Predators, but this is just honest predictions.
Hey.
I've been high on Colorado.
That was my pick at the beginning of the season.
For a long
time. Before the season started.
Yep.
Hey, kudos to both of us because, I mean, we easily could have picked the Nashville Predators and I could have easily picked the Lakers.
There you go.
And we didn't. We went the different route.
There you go. Those are our NHL and NBA predictions. Coming up next, our favorite championship series or games in each sport. We'll get to that coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And after these next 20 seconds, we will have a free Business Friday. Welcome back into the show on this Friday.
Oh, man, Dave Matthews.
It's okay. They're okay. Yeah. I I mean, I have to be in the mood to listen to
you
Dave
Matthews
Band.
Because it's like, you can't listen to this on a casual. It's good on a Friday, sunny day, I guess.
Yeah, this is a back deck, back porch jam right here.
It is. Is it ants marching? Cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't dislike Dave Matthews Band.
They're good. I don't dislike them. I don't know. Their music is just, it's not my thing. But their Ants Marching is a good song.
Yes, it is. And again, I just have to be in the mood to listen to Dave Matthews Band.
I would definitely go to a concert. Their concerts, I heard, are pretty fun.
Oh, they're definitely one of those. I can't just listen to DMB every day, but...
Do you know, you all know Jeremy K. Gover of, you know, helping us on the National Predators Radio Network.
Big
He's been to 75 DMB concerts.
Ooh.
It's something outrageous. And he gets like a poster at every single one of them, and he has all of them.
Well, he probably has a monster collection.
Well, I
hope he has a big bonus room to showcase all of this.
Well, I'm not dissing, Jeremy. I'm not dissing Dave Matthews Band. I do listen, but just not often. That's all.
All right, so we have a few minutes here before we move on to Jared and the GM, Steve Lehman of News Channel 5, filling in for Jared this afternoon. The favorite championship series / game, if you include the Super Bowl in the NFL, for each sport that we've ever watched.
All
Marquise,
right.
Let's start with the NBA.
NBA for me is easily the 2010 NBA Finals between the Lakers and the Celtics.
I wonder why.
Where that went the Lakers' way.
I wonder why.
And the Lakers, because, look, it's a story. Because the Lakers made it to the finals against the Celtics before, and then obviously the Celtics washed them in Game 6. That was a horrible Game 6. And then the following year, the Lakers go back to the NBA Finals. They beat the Magic in clear fashion. And then so now you have the rematch 2-3 years later with the Lakers and Clippers, or the Lakers and Celtics, and then all of a sudden the Lakers.
That was a boring Game 7.
It was. It was a horrible Game 7. But guess what? Kobe passed me the ball.
There you go.
In the words of Ron Artest.
Cavaliers-Warriors in 2016.
Okay.
That's the best sports series of all time. I think I could put that title on it in terms
of
all sports.
That Game 7, which I think today is the four-year anniversary of said Game 7.
Yeah, it is. 4 years.
Hard to believe. Watched that game in a Houston hotel bar with Robbie Stanley as we were on a road trip. I have never been more glued to that game, and if that game is on when I'm flipping around, I will stop and watch it. Like, that game was so cool to see LeBron win for Cleveland. All right. Let's say NHL, Marquise.
Am I gonna get hated for saying this?
Probably.
Why? I shouldn't get hated. It was basically when the LA Kings beat the Rangers in the Stanley Cup final.
Okay. On an overtime goal. Alec Martinez.
Yes.
I was sitting where Elijah Campbell is sitting right now, producing the night shift with Tom Callahan.
Look, before
that goal happened,
before I moved to Nashville, I was a LA kid. So remind you, I root for everything LA, if not Nashville.
So mine in the NHL is Penguins Red Wings in 2009.
Okay.
Seven-game series. Home team won each of the first six games, and then the Penguins went on the road at the Joe in Game 7. Also, Bruins Canucks in 2011, low key epic 7-game series because of all the storylines. Major League Baseball, best World Series of your lifetime.
This is gonna hurt. 2017, Dodgers Astros. Because even though the Dodgers lost,
showing a ton of bias today.
I'm not, man.
Selections.
But it's
you're being real.
I mean, honestly, like, that was a really great series. That 12-13 game, and it was just. It was a good series. It just didn't go my way, unfortunately.
Okay. I have to say Yankees-Diamondbacks. Yankees-Diamondbacks back in 2001, the epic bottom of the ninth in Game 7 off Mariano Rivera for the Diamondbacks to win in the World Series immediately following 9/11. You have a New York team in that game. You could not have scripted a World Series any better than that one. And that is very hard to beat for me when it comes to most memorable World Series. All right, real quick before we get out of here, Super Bowl.
Steelers-Cardinals. Super Bowl 43.
Really?
Yeah, I love that Super Bowl.
That was a good game.
I can watch that Super Bowl like a, 100 times over. The Holmes catch in the corner, the James Harrison 99-yard, you know, fumble recovery touchdown. Like, you had Larry Fitzgerald coming off the middle. Like, man, that game had so much, man. That game is fantastic. I was going to say Atlanta versus New England just to be funny, but no, I'm not going
to
do that to
you. You don't want to bring up 28-3 to the people of Atlanta?
Exactly.
It's always worth bringing up.
Still is Cardinals.
Always. All right. This is tough. This is really tough.
Are you going to go Rams Titans?
No, I'm not.
I was about to say.
That's bias showing, because that was a good finish. I didn't think that was a great game. That was a good finish. Go Patriots Eagles a few years ago. That was a damn good Super Bowl.
It was. That was too.
It was also fun to see the Patriots lose.
Absolutely. It's always fun to see them lose.
Good stuff today, Marquise. Good stuff today, Elijah. Hope you all have a great weekend coming up. This has been Darren, Donick, nor Chase for the last 4 hours. And coming up next, it will be Jared and the GM. Without Jared, Steve Lehman of News Channel 5 will be filling in alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Hope everyone has a great weekend. We will talk to you again on Monday.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.